Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Avatar Podcast, episode 35. I am your host, Albert Kessa, and I am joined by Anna and Bailey in the same place. How are you doing? Buonanotte, Camilla.
Yes.
Excellent.
Albert, look at, I literally have my, we got these like cups at the theater. I'm sure you got some too, I'm sure, because you've gone multiple times.
Interesting.
This is so funny to me. Look at how fun it is. There's like little pictures that appear when it gets cold.
My heart.
I know. I'm like, I'm thirsty. I gotta have this.
You're on either side of me, in you know, energetically. So take both my hands. Okay, let's start this the right way. Okay. The way of water has no beginning and no end. The sea is around you and in you. The sea is your home. Before your birth and after your death, our hearts beat in the womb of the world. Our breath burns in the shadows of the deep. The sea gives and the sea takes. Water connects all things. Life to death, darkness to light. Avatar, The Way of Water.
It is so crazy.
That's real.
How that literally just shifted everything in a matter of like 4 seconds.
I feel what like that heck? Needs to be the new like way of saying grace before you drink water first thing in the day.
Yeah.
Or as Anna's amazing linked tree would say, with that beautiful presentation, is your brain on water. Like, I love that. You see, again, just drink water, people. Be water. You are water. You know what I mean?
I love that saying so much.
Yeah. Okay, because, and I want to say this is like, if you take that microcosm of like a disaster, like an accident at sea or whatever, and they're both stressed, both of them, I mean, obviously Quaritch is unconscious, but Jake is feeling that anxiety. And if you extrapolate that into life, it's like you can be so anxious and you can have these little air pockets where you feel really restrained and you feel really separate and anxious. But if you then actually shift and breathe and say, hey, I'm actually made of the exact same stuff. Exactly. As the thing that's oppressing me, as the thing that I'm immersed in, you know, 80% at least, we are water. So that's what Loak was doing. I mean, that'll break me every single time I see it. The idea of a son,
oh my gosh, that
being there for the father, it's beautiful.
Just reflecting on that, there's so much.
I know.
We could talk about with this.
We will be for the next 2 years. We certainly will be.
I know. And like specifically to like that scene specifically, I just remember like similar, literally just, you know, just in the start of this podcast, you taking that extra 30 seconds to like say that in the film. I just remember like sitting there and feeling just that like, kind of like the waves, like the rhythm of the words, like were waves itself. And it was just like altering the heart rate in and of itself. And just like that clarity and that realization. And then seeing it translate to like through the characters, like Jake, all of a sudden you saw that like mental shift. You're just like, all right, let's go.
And it is.
I'm holding my breath with you. Like, let's do this thing. Like, that's so powerful. And like Loak and him, that whole storyline sideline, oh my gosh, got me in the feels in the end. Oh,
indeed,
so good.
Got me is the waves of the breath of it all, and coming back to that connectedness with the water and the roots with the water. The breath itself is a wave, right? Everything pulsates, and that's where, like, at its core, everything is birthed through sound, and through sound, we get to see. Or I'm sorry, through water, we get to see sound in action, right? We get to see creation because of water, right? And so then coming back to that breath and that breath that saves them, the breath is life and the water is life. And so to have those moments together and then to have the son, you know, the father to remember who he is in his power. There's just so much symbology in so many ways. It's so beautiful. And I think it's really cool too, some of the imagery throughout the movie where we got to see those pulsations of Awa, even when Kitty was laying down or in the water, and we got to see those pulses or coming out of the tidal pools, and we'd see the ripples constantly showing us that Ewa is breathing, and through the breath we see the pulse, right? And the water shows us how it ripples, and it's just, it never ends. Just the cycle. Mm.
Anna, how are you feeling in particular? Because it is Anna, it is Aqua Anna the movie. So
where do I begin? You know, from a visual perspective, it felt like I was in a bit of a dream. And at the same time, I'm just more excited to see what the next movies will bring to further explore the depths of all the little bits we were shown now. I really feel that this movie was, as Bailey said, to me, a stepping stone for the next movies. And there were just so many monumental aspects that were like mini cliffhangers throughout that will be touched upon later. And I'm just excited to see how they explore those in-depth moments to really give people a grander and more direct, a more direct connection between water and its ability to transform consciousness, truly, and just to give life. And yeah, I think the next movies will allow people to have a more conscious kind of water awakening, where this one set the stage.
It definitely set the stage, because they, and I feel as if it did set the stage, because at the end we did get that verbal validation from Tanawati, like, like, you guys are welcome, like, you are a part of us, you are Met Kaina now. Jake even goes, well, I guess we're Met Kaina now, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back, because also think of it, you know, in a filming aspect, they did almost the entirety of 3 already too. All right, we're still going to be here. We're still going to be flowing this wave, like riding it. And so, lots more to uncover. And I'm very excited to see more of the Met Kaina way. That's what I absolutely loved of the first film and Avatar, when Jake was learning about the Omati Gaia. Like, there was that whole initiation process was so in depth, and you really got to see their culture and their ways with the world and with the people. And I am so, so, so excited, for all the reasons Anna mentioned, to see that for the Met Kaina. Like, I am so, I'm ready for more of the Met Kaina. Like, let's learn about their history. Let's see their ways. Like,
And I think that not only will this concern, which is now, I think it stopped being a concern many months ago for like Kuranyu tribe and like Avatar community and stuff, but, you know, the response, you know, speaking to that, as Anna would, you know, attest, that deep yearning for healing, you know, Sophia also has mentioned this. So functioning on all those levels, which we've talked about, and then you have the storytelling, art and entertainment level. Not only will Cameron make his 5 films, he may actually get poked by Disney to say, can you do maybe a bit more? Can we have more of those maybe? And I think that that might lead him to let the, maybe even this story that he has laid out, let that even breathe even further, and allow us to spend more time, just so it's not like a clan, you know, a clan movie. You know, clan of the week. No, but I would love, but the thing is, I would love to see like the Met Kaina, you know, to lead to the, like, the cave Navi, you know, and then for the cave Navi to lead to the mountain Navi, and the mountain Navi to lead to, you know, volcano Navi, or you know, I know. So I'm just sending the stream out to get as many eyes on you guys as possible. But so, as you can see in the thumbnail, listeners, viewers of the replay, etc., these two, that's a complete sentence. These two. So you guys went to the beach, huh? Tell us about it.
We went to the beach a while ago, a short while ago. It was lovely. She's been down south in the tropical realms. Without me, we're in Michigan right now, you know.
And this is where we were born and raised. So
yeah,
I used to live like directly across the street here. I can see from her bedroom window.
It's crazy. Like, it's full circle right now. Like, I was finally able to go kind of visit her abode, and we literally would always talk about, like, oh my gosh, can you imagine us on the beach together?
That's so sweet.
We would have, you know, in the water, like watching the dolphins and everything, which we did. We watched the dolphins. We did see dolphins
because she spots dolphins like,
yeah.
I got that dolphin eyesight.
You do. And now Ilu eyesight. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably would.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we were just there. Goodness. So that's the thumbnail. But what everyone sees, that's us repping the merch as well. So cute. Super fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I need to also now say, okay, obviously Pulse of Possibility for Anna, but you know, becoming Navi everywhere. Okay, Etsy, let's go. Pope people.
Etsy.
Let's do it.
I'm like Albert, you've gone, what did you say? Three times now? You've seen the movie three times?
Yeah, go ahead.
And, okay, so you're going again, like literally like tomorrow or something. Crazy. Yeah. I need to go again ASAP. I have planned to go three more times, but I'm trying to coordinate that with loved ones, you know, because we got
okay. Bailey, it is also Bailey the movie as well. Like, seriously. And look at your braids and everything. Come on. Like, and
yeah.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you have, okay, what, let's say you, Anna, is Atsireya. You are. Bailey, yes. You're Kiri. You totally have, like, 1980s Sigourney Weaver vibes as a person. Like, and, you know, she's, like, talking to, you know, after he meets Payakan, the ocean bless you, brother. Yeah, she sounded like an 80s hippie. Like, fucking Sigourney Weaver.
I love Kiri. I loved her whole story. I love I just love her. She's so fun, and I think the revisions, because if anyone didn't know, originally she was supposed to be kind of like a resemblance of Neytiri, like very perfect, poised, you know, clean, whatever. No, that's not how it works when you are that age, and then that, you know, mindset of the world and finding your place. So I just loved her character. I loved her portrayal. It was so fun. I loved the way she interacted with her brothers. So true. Just so funny watching them be idiots. Completely. And yeah, no, I love it. Good thought, Albert. I'm sure.
Okay. And that's established. And we will eventually map to everyone in Kuranyu, which is the, you know, so our lovely little tribe there. I want to, like, as I said, two whole years of discussion is ahead. Of course, mm-hmm. We can also like breathe, and so it breaks any form of scale of measurement of rating for me. I mean, automatically that means 5 out of 5, 10 out of 10, all these metrics, 100 out of 100, all that stuff for me, because of the multiple levels that it functions on. What I love is that there's this beautiful orb of positivity and earnestness, and you'll get these like, there's no helping them. Like, they are beyond help. You know, Spider, even Spider, if he saw these reviewers drowning at the bottom of the ocean, he'd be like, nah, I'm not going to save them the way that he saves Quaritch. Like, people saying this is irritatingly idyllic, I'm like, okay, we just can't. We are not the same.
Yeah.
If you think this movie is irritatingly idyllic, no. It breaks those scales. It breaks those metrics for sure, you know?
Yeah. It is definitely, like, I was literally telling Elia, like, on the way there, I don't know, it's unbelievable, the whole thing, the fact that it's been 13 years, until we were, like, sitting there with the slushy and popcorn, it wasn't hitting me, like, it honestly wasn't hitting me, and I was just like, there's no way that we're here to watch Avatar. I feel like we're watching some, I don't know, Marvel movie, you know, like, the usual,
mm-hmm.
And even still afterwards, like, honestly, it felt like a dream, like, I need to go see it again to, like, actually...
Yes.
Yeah, a movie.
Totally, and I need to say this, is that, so you'll get, especially in the podcast space, you'll have that, which I actually categorically avoid, because I just think if you go too far into, like, fanboy space, then you're actually undermining the art, and you're making it less about the art itself, more about your relationship with it. So for me, it is firmly rooted in, like, objectively measurable, like, go see the movie multiple times simply because of the, you know, it's shaped like a movie. It walks like a movie, but its heart is a evolution of the art form objectively. Like, there's objectively things that you'll see on screen that have never been put on screen before. Performance capture underwater, right? That's done. Yeah. Level of graphical fidelity, like when, you know, Loak, he wakes up on that rock. People they all jumped when they realized that that was a typhoon.
Do you remember that? Everyone jumping? That was Rock. Hilarious. I knew that was coming because, you know, we saw the exclusive release photos. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
we knew what was happening, but they were, I was like, wait a second. Those look like some rocks there. What are they doing?
Look, Locke, speaking of beautiful, classic VHS-y kind of vibes, again, I had this with Dune even for some reason. I was like, the way that this is laid out, and obviously the original Avatar, I love something so much that I take it from the present and I like retroactively put it into my past. Like I see the Way of Water VHS in my mind for some reason, because Loak and Paya Khan is Free Willy. Like it is, you know, and you see them, you know, like, I understand and you can trust me. Like, it's just fucking earnest as fuck. It's so sweet, you know? And that ritual of the trust, you know, opening the mouth, like, and that's also mythical with, Belly of the Beast and stuff like that. I would just chill out in that. Be like, you mind if I just chill out in your mouth for like, I'll just drop acid and just chill out in your mouth.
You don't even need to drop acid.
I know. Okay.
Like the bioluminescence. I didn't expect that. And then the unraveling, that was so.
It's like psychedelic.
And just, it was like an ICU in and of itself, too. Mm-hmm. Motion.
Oh, you just, is that ICU? Is that like a reference to how creatures unfurl? Yo. And I don't know if it's in the lore. Well, the books I think have arrived today. They might be somewhere in the house. But, you know, the Medcaena, because of, you know, water being super, like, again, because of the similarity in evolution between Earth and, you know, and Pandora, it speaks to, you know, for millions of years, it was just microbes. It was just water, literally. Like, it was, and so it's an ancient substance. And I wonder if the Medcaena are, like, very, very old. Super old. Maybe they even originated the ICU gesture, and then that they took that from these, you know, the Tulkuns and the other great creatures that have that thing where they unfurl. So there you go, a little bit of theory craft.
Yeah. I love that.
That would make so much sense, though.
Right, the unfurling.
We see whales in our world as some of the most ancient beings around. I mean, they are the greatest teachers. And they teach through frequency in water in such incredible ways. And I was going on about that last night in the car with Bailey about how they make that bond inside the mouth and how it just makes so much sense with how emotional and powerful and intelligent whales and dolphins are, and the mouth and the saliva holding onto memories and our words, and like that's such
words.
Space, right? And even how we kiss with our mouths, it's such like a loving bonding gesture. And so to go inside, it's almost like they're kissing in a way, like in that connection. Yeah. You know that the intimacy of the bond is much more potent with the tulkun and the other animals in that way, which makes sense as we got to see in the movie how deep their bonds are. They're like family members. They are family members.
To the people listening in, please don't, that's a disservice. You need to jump on the YouTube on the replay, and even if you're watching live, you can skip back a few moments and then refresh to catch back up. But the thing, you know, Bailey just now like turning to Anna and going like this was just gave me so much life. And thank you,
Albert. We have massive telepathy.
It's kind of scary sometimes.
It's beautiful. We should start keeping track, honestly.
We will.
Yeah, several times a day we're together, I'll be like, would you get out of my head?
She always is telling me out of head. And so, you know, we're just doing that now.
So cute. Okay, so I've just signal boosted that out. You can check your phones now. I summoned people to the stream. I said, swim with us. You know, the way that Surya does it. Wait, I'll try to do an impression. I'll do the dimples. Swim with us.
Literally.
There you go. Yeah. So you can do it. Oh my God. Yeah. That's adorable. Yeah. It's only, look, they are absolutely swamped with pre-arranged, like months ahead arranged meetings and stuff. But eventually we hope in the intervening 2 years, you know, Bailey Bass will have a slow Sunday and I will be summoning both of you to speak with her. So just give me time. Anytime. Listen, also, okay, this is what you get from multiple rewatches. First of all, the trauma. I can't, the hunting of Ro'an, I can't remember the
name of her told
me. The spirit sister, that's so rough. So yeah. I'll just say that out of the way. But what you do notice, guys, is guys, girls, everyone, like Roxo, like this is, you know, Dwayne Evans. By the way, Tarina Evans, the sister of Dwayne Evans, is such a gem. She's like, oh my God, my bro. And she's like tagging and DMing. Yeah. And fantastic. But he has his tiny little, like, I want to highlight this. This is the podcast for this sort of thing. His mini arc is that he's the kid who's like, it's that ultimate 1980s, like, doesn't have a personality yet, just kind of goes along with the bullying thing. It's like, but look, their hands look so weird. Look, baby tail. And so they have that. And then later, Rokuto is the first person to ask if Kiri's okay after she has her seizure. Like this little shock-haired, you know, Navi that you think is you know, a bit of a rascal. He has a tiny little mini arc. So if Tarina's watching this, like we noticed, or Dwayne, like that was so cute. But also Aonul and Loak, when they are walking after, you know, Loak kind of, you know, takes the heat off him. Which is also sweet because Neteyam always taking the heat off Loak. Loak learns from his brother, takes the heat off of Aonul.
That was sweet.
You know, I see them walking and I see future Oloektans. I see them like when they're walking together and he's like, yeah, I know what it's like to feel like a constant disappointment. It's like the bro love is real with those
two. The bonding, trauma bonding.
Okay, so you guys have spirit sisters out there. I want you to, let's all go whale, like whale exploring. We'll find our, doesn't that immediately, Anna, doesn't it lend itself to a campaign? Like adopt a whale or like find your spirit sister, find your, right? And then
it's funny, Albert. That's one of my like biggest dreams in life. It has been for a long time, is to be able to go out on the sea and have like little retreats out on the water to assist people in consciously communing with animals, the marine life.
That's it.
I mean, our world is an oceanic planet, and yet we don't always really understand or even think about these beautiful beings that our ocean is filled with that carry so much of this planet's frequency. Genuinely, they make up life here. Yeah. And I think it's just so important for our sake and theirs, just as a whole, that we learn to love and respect and connect with one another.
Beautifully expressed. Actually, what I'll bring up, as well as I've got a little system here, so you can definitely please do look into you know, conservation. We also wanted, this is actually, I just ended up just loving seeing you both, and there was lots of connection, love and stuff there. But I want to highlight this. I'm going to open this next episode with this too. Our wonderful tribe member Ava, you know, Iskik, she told us about this actually happening right now. So everything you see, I just put this post together, turn your appreciation into awareness and then into action. So 3 A's, very easy to kind of start creating that habit. So it is, like, you know, eviction from like your actual native, like first people's lands, which is really, really messed up. So, please go to Mayan League and support them, because it's a beautiful collective of mostly women who are going right into the heart of like the flames of where this is going on. And as I put here, a lot of the major outlets aren't reporting on it. So, and we're almost hit 10K. So I have to leverage our platform to highlight the real world, you know, stuff that Avatar alludes to. So if you feel that pang of when, you know, villages are being burned or whales are being hunted, like please follow that. Don't just have that be contained to your viewing experience. Mm-hmm. Follow that appreciation and being affected by it into awareness and then into action. So I had to say that. So pretty intense stuff, right?
Right.
And
our world is full of it every day. So
yeah. Okay. All right, people. So had to be said.
Thank you for highlighting it, Albert. Yeah, love and appreciate you for that.
And did you create a post for that?
Created a post and shared it. And also, if you go to the story, I did a little monkey see, monkey do. I love how Kiri calls him, you know, monkey boy. It's so cute. For some reason, I can't go back. But basically, yeah. So earlier today, does it let you?
I don't know.
If you go on Instagram stories on your desktop, you can't go back. Oh my god, that's so broken.
Yeah,
I'll try again. Yeah. Oh yeah, okay, now it's maybe working. I don't know what's happening. Okay, so go to the, oh fuck, I'll just bring it up. On this one here and my little command center. Yeah, so what you need to do, people, is you want to go. Yeah, so I did that, and so it's like that's the post there, and then I also donated at the bottom there, so you can
see.
Is that gonna let? Yeah, so that's thank you, and they send you a little receipt, and it's really sweet. So do it. Hello, Doom Boogie. How are you? We love you too. Thanks. Merry Christmas. Excellent. Okay, so the stream's been shared out, and fun time shall ensue. Okay, well, I have literally endless little moments throughout the film to highlight and then to get you guys' opinions on. But yes, we can do. Let's start with I suppose how you would approach this sort of thing with other instances, even though it is the film to kind of break structure on and just kind of recognize that we're in a post Avatar 2 world now. But what was your standout moment in the film? And this is going to be an interesting ink blot question. Go for it. Yeah, either of you, take it.
To choose just one. I know. I am going to take I'll give you more time to ponder. Version.
Also, Sophia's here loving you guys and cheering from the comments. But yeah, please.
Oh, hi!
Hi, Sophia!
Go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, you go, because I need to process stuff. You already have yours.
Okay.
Right.
Mine was when Loak was defending his Tulkun and not bending the knee. And it was seen as disrespectful, and he didn't care because I know what I know. And even though that's seen as disrespectful, and he was contradicting not just any adult or elder, but the chief, and no, I know what I know. Yeah. And to defend that one Tulkun, that ended up saving them all in such a huge way. Yeah. Like, he knew what he knew, and he stuck by it, and he didn't bend the knee. And he's my favorite character. So that for
once
me.
Again, yeah, yeah. No, sorry to interrupt. Please.
No, you're good. Keep going.
That proves in this wonderful Cameronian way, you see this in the best stories, and also this happens in life too, is you'll do something from a place of love, and then that will have an important, like, critical ripple effect. So if he hadn't had that moment with Payakan probably would have gotten poached and wouldn't have been able to rescue them later on the deck when he does his possibly, like, move aside Neo, like,
yeah, from the Matrix.
Like, his fucking, I can just see him put his glasses on, you know, Payakan. Underneath the sea dragon, like just wrecking shop, you know. And if Ayakan has a voice, it has to be Keanu Reeves. It has to
be. That's so fitting.
Oh, seriously, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
100%.
No, that's insane. And then he like avoids a missile twice. Once with his horn, with his like. I love also
that was so sick.
Oh my god!
Echolocation on the bottom. You can see the kind of little fins on the top, as hard as iron. Like, and he just fucking deflected.
Just yeet,
blows up.
Yeets that.
Oh fucking, yeah, such a badass.
Harpoon.
Tycoon is awesome.
Fucking love
Tycoon. Maybe. Top character right now.
Yeah. I seriously. Yeah.
Like, he's the more you think about it, that
that
Tulkun went through some shit.
Exactly.
And I mean, to an extent, though, it is such a great reflection of Loak. So then, obviously, the character of Loak, you know, they have very similar storylines, character archetypes, like, very beautiful.
And what I love about their characters, too, is that they both represent that person that has nothing to lose, that is the underdog, that has a pure heart, and oh my god, it's powerful. It's just powerful.
Where, and also Ronal, you know, maybe you should stay behind. I ride. He said.
That was great.
So good. Kate Winslet, my favorite moment in the film performance-wise was like her saying, "What is this Tonawari?" Like, like, mm-hmm. what is it? And then what is this? Like that moment with her and her spirit sister, a composer of songs, and she waited many breeding cycles to have this staff, and it's just fucking
the pure disbelief of that reality. Yeah, it was very well translated through her acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she did a beautiful job.
She did. I mean, Kate Winslet,
which
makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's like, in general, too, the whole like distraught disbelief, like trauma, sadness, separation, that came through so strongly. I have literally, like, when I left this movie, I was like equal parts overjoyed and completely hollow inside. Like,
I know.
Balance.
Balance. I don't know if that's a balance I was looking for.
No, it resonates. It resonates for sure.
It's just, oh my gosh. And then Zoe's acting for Neytiri, like.
Yeah. Oh, when she is so, the grief takes her voice away. She's rasping.
The tiredness, like the pure like exhaustion was so well coming through with her voice, like the raspiness, like immediately right off the bat, I was like, yeah, she's going through it, rightfully so.
Natam. Just
don't
born in. And then like that's just beautiful. The bravest fucking Na'vi, the coolest brother. I don't have a brother. I fucking wish I had. Jamie fucking Flatters. Seriously, that death scene is. He just stops. There's that moment of like, and you're keeping track of the, like, it's his lungs. It's struggling. And he's breathing really fast. And then he says, I want to go home. And then he just says, Dad. And then he just dies. It's just so quick. And it is.
Chills.
Yeah. And that's why on the repeated rewatches, it is the. Like when Gloak is, he can't slow his heartbeat down because he's falling in love with, you know, Zireya.
Yeah.
And Jamie just looks over and like.
I know. That's so good.
They picked him for his smile. Like, but that little, he's like breathing is like, and he's just like laughing while trying to breathe. And the break, I have to highlight again, like, you know, Gloak was the guy who trained with the weapons. You can tell Natam, he grabs it. He doesn't know as much. He's not as gung-ho. Literally, they have you know, Natam evokes Neytiri with his hair even, and they've modeled. And that's, they say this about kids, is what a kid will inevitably model to one of the parents more. And Gloak is more like the dad, but Natam has that instinctive moment of like, I don't know how to shoot this thing, but I know that I can protect my brother if I spray it and they run. And he did that like completely. And fucking, I thought I was trying to manifest a redemption path for Waynefleet. Waynefleet fucking took Natam out. And that fucks with me because I quite liked how Waynefleet has been looking after Quaritch. What are you doing to me? How do I feel? How should I feel? Obviously, I side with Natam, but I Jesus. Oh, my heart.
It hurts. It just really was not the best feeling to see, to meet and then say bye-bye to one of the Sully kids. Like that was on for me. That was the highlight of the film, was like how the kids were written. Like I loved seeing the kids.
They were written so well, casted so well.
It was great. I loved the dynamics between all of them. And oh my gosh, what the heck?
Okay, wow. I know. Like, this is Eric says, as a dad, I have called my oldest knucklehead since he was 3 to call Jake's Gloak knucklehead hit me harder than expected. He says, at the end, when the young Natam answers Jake with that childish maybe, sounded exactly how my young answers every question. I cried really hard. When he sees him in the, you know, in that sacred space of the ancestors and like with the, you know, with those who have changed form go to.
Yep.
That field, I envisioned that with like our own, like seeing mom, like my mother-in-law to be, who passed in February, and it's like that idea of being able to visit within memories and just jump in and say hi, and when he's like, why are you crying, Dad? I was like, oh God, just fucking God.
Rips out your heart. That, okay, we're not going to get the waterworks going right now. We're going to say try present. I know. We're going to say. Because I don't know if you remember, we were both making noise. I had in the theater, I had to turn into her because I was at that point where it's like, you know, you're crying a little too hard and you're, you know, trying to like, like a bit.
Yeah. Singhiozzi, they called in Italian.
Yep, that was happening. And wow, just the power through the visuals, the, you know, like exactly that moment where he's like, what are you, like, what's wrong, Dad? Like, it's the whole, like, respecting his passing, his, you know, his eternal soul in that moment, like, whatever, you know, not bringing the grief to him. Like, this is a safe space to visit and everything with Awa and the memories. But then flashing back to reality when they place him, you know, the burial ritual.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. And the songs, like, the song chord, like.
I know. Stop. Yeah. Okay. I know. Okay. I'm just not going
to
look at
the... But you know what? Just another testament to that cast and how well those characters were written, that we could be introduced to a character like that in one movie and all feel it so deeply in our hearts.
Yeah.
Every sibling, every mother, every father just felt that in their hearts. And I think as sad as it is, I think a lot of us have also grieved the death of a loved one close to us to know what that's like a little bit. And if you don't know what that's like, to experience it and feel that connected to characters and be able to experience that in your heart, as sad as it is, we also then find that connectedness and that love and that remembrance there too. And for those that really do struggle with grief, I think it's cool that, you know, they get to see at the end. Natam in Awa living on in their memories to remember that connectedness never dies.
Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of it.
Mi patirei tanti, l'amor ametela.
Oh my fucking God.
Honestly.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. All right, well, you know, that speaks for itself. Can we talk about how often people call each other bro and cousin this movie? Because I'm about that.
Bro. Comedic relief.
Bro. Cuz, bro.
Bro.
Dude, bro, I did not understand what you were saying, bro. Bro.
No, I think it is. Okay. I honestly, if someone tries to tell me that they said bro too much, that is not true at all. Because when you get that lingo, that terminology between like brethren and like sister-in, whatever the sister.
Oh, I love that.
Sister-in, it's just like that is, it's kind of like a second nature. It just comes out. It just comes out. It's like, you know, when you're, what's it, code switching with like your friends or whatever, and you start saying, you know, what they say, you pick up their mannerisms. If they're all having the same mannerism, you're going to be hearing bro every other second. Like,
I love it.
I loved it. It was so fun.
Simon did such a good, incredible job. Horner would be proud. The music editor did a fantastic job mixing old things with new content. Bailey, the reason why, and I love you lots. Don't worry. Like you were mentioning about, you know, resonating with between the two scores, you more towards the first one. For me, with this one, I'm giving you a report. It's like live from Albert's emotions. He cried a lot. You know, I just think it's because it affected me and a lot. And there's just the orchestration, especially hearing the song chord theme throughout. You'll actually hear it when you guys see the film again.
Yeah,
you'll hear those notes playing over certain scenes orchestrally. And just got goosebumps. This thing. There you go. Nice. Simon, you know, the culture of the Metcaina and so many moments, but hey, you know, yeah, it's all good. The love is real.
Yeah.
And Doom Boogie being lovely and saying lovely things. So, I actually, because we have Robin in like 20 minutes, but I'm thinking bring her on. Like, should we just like keep the party going? That wouldn't that be cool? As if we had, I divvied them up, but I don't know. Are you guys busy? What's the time there?
So we do have family here that we do need to see. But the thing is, if you have a show with Robin in 20 minutes, why not just, I don't know if you can do this.
Yeah.
If you can, like merge her in and then
of course
we're all here for a bit and then
that's
like
what I'm thinking. I'm just gonna put that in our little chatty chat. Yes. And now I have another question. So we talked about most striking scenes. And I mean, I think you mentioned character Payakan, you know, like the character for you. But now, I mean, I guess like, so, I mean, we can go other scenes. Like there can't just be one. So for me, again, when Loak is looking for Payakan and calling to him, and because he's connected with his Elo at the time, like the Elo is being like adorably like calling out to
him. And like slapping. And,
slapping water, like, I just, again, who should voice the Elu if Keanu Reeves is Payakan?
Someone
so earnest and adorable to voice these like extremely wholesome creatures, you know. I don't know. We'll workshop it. Yeah.
I have the picture of the guy in my mind, but I'm pulling a blank on who he is.
Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim.
Are you serious? Wait a minute. Michael Cera as all the
Michael Elu? Cera. Michael Cera.
Hey guys.
Yeah, 100%. That's my opinion. Okay. I don't know. I see the resemblance.
And who should play the Akula? The guy. Also, fucking terrifying.
That was so scary.
It is a great white shark times maybe
ten.
With the mouth of a rattlesnake, you know what I mean? Like, oof.
Your worst fears all combined.
He was just hungry. Crunch, crunch, and he crunched a lot. That was a lot of crunch.
But fair.
I have to shark advocate. Yeah, because
that's true. I love sharks. I love it. That's what I was actually saying. He was just hungry. Right? And when I'm hungry, can you stop me from going to that fridge?
No,
Ray can't stop me.
No, right?
You can put all the coral reef in my way. I will chomp to that fridge. Really?
But I'm so curious if they're gonna end up, or if they can. I'm sure they can in some way, shape, or form bond with them. Just like at the end of the first movie, when Neytiri bonded with the, what are those creatures called? Liony ones.
They're like panthers. They're
like, yeah.
Oh, the Palulukan, the Thanator. Yeah.
Yes, the Thanators. Yeah, like at the end when they bow, it bows to her. Like, yes, we're on the same team here. Like, I'm curious if that's going to happen with the sharks.
Like, does there need to be, like, an AWA intervention for that to happen? No?
But I feel in the next movie there might be, because I feel like there's going to be more of that AWA in the water. We're going to understand that much more intricately when this, I feel like, was just a little taste.
Right.
It's getting a little. And I think that shark creatures would be a cool one, and them being introduced. I feel like that'd be cool, again, because sharks are one of those animals that so many people fear, when really they are not that deadly to humans, like at all. Yeah. And they're one of those that are so key to our oceans and therefore the health of this entire planet.
Yeah. That's right. Be kind to sharks, people.
Being Loak,
big love of sharks.
If you're being Loak in that position, but if you're unrelated to great white sharks and on our lovely Earth. Let's place yourself in
that position. Are we going to try to kill it and survive?
Yeah. That was so, the whole, like, losing the breath, the moment where he was trying to, you know, do Sadea's little breath work, mental stillness moment, like, he tried, but it was past that point. Oh my gosh, I was like, it's about to happen to another song. Like,
yeah.
That was so intense. There was a lot of intense moments. Your heart rate was going up and down.
Absolutely. And you know what really got me too was when they blew the horns for the Tolkien's coming home. I thought they were blowing the horns because war was coming in. And I was like, shit, it's about to get real. And then just something beautiful happened. And it's one of those things that makes you breathe a little deeper.
Yeah. Hey, Anna, she met a boy. It was so cute. That was like when, yeah, your relatives. And I love that because we are in Christmas mode. So you're getting a lot of Tulkun families meeting each other. And the timing mm-hmm. couldn't be more perfect because they're going to turn like, hey, grandma, I was just talking to you when you arrived in your minivan. And like, you're like a Tulkun to me. And then yes. the grandma would be like, why are you comparing me to a whale? And it's like, well, I love whales. And then she says, well, fair enough.
I promise. No, I was telling Anna too, like, because I recently just, I like to put on, you know, shows in the background when I'm doing work. And I was watching The Secret of the Whales, Secret Life of Whales, whatever the title is, you know, that James obviously was helping create, produce everything. And it immediately reminded me of one of the episodes, I think it was The Humpbacks, how they have their like family reunions. They literally come together, they feed together. They are, it's kind of a social, you know, gathering and they're catching up with one another. And I'm like, that's, what do you know? That's happening right now. And it's so beautiful. It is so fun. I love that scene.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I've just invited Robin. So she'll be joining us shortly.
Cool.
That'll be rad. So Robin from Salty Dreads, which is a great, great company name for like making dreadlocks and stuff. That's amazing. Yeah. Dreadlocks in this movie.
The new style for the Nabi. Yeah. No, I loved it. Jake rocking it. Spider rocking it.
Oh my gosh. I just love spiders.
Yes.
Welcome. Good to see you.
I see you.
Are you wearing the
whale? I am, yeah.
Is indeed.
We were just talking about them. Well, we're starting to.
From the new movie?
Yes, but we were talking about how you were joining and how you guys are salty dreads and you're wearing them and it's perfect and I want to see them a bit more because they are stunning.
There you go. So this is her with your... And honestly, and Bailey, actually, it's great to have you both on the show. And this is how it allows these moments, which is Bailey, it's her job. She turns people into Na'vi. And I think you're sorted. I mean, you still feel free to commish, but I think, Bailey, like she's done
got that,
it. Like,
she's got that live action Na'vification.
Thank you so much.
so really, really well done. And
thank you.
Yeah. Shouts out to you. So how are you doing in this new world we're living in of after the Way of Water?
I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing it tomorrow.
This is great because then we are now not going to say, you know, Payakans, everyone's just no mouth open, everything closed. No one's saying anything now. Okay, so.
No spoilers. So Robin,
we got you.
No spoilers. So we'll treat you very... very gently. I'm swimming with metaphors from the movie and I'm like, don't use the metaphor. Don't do
That's
it.
That's all right. I've seen like some without context spoilers and I think I'm still in the clear. So.
Oh yeah? There That's you go. Good. Hey. Okay, so Joseph's saying, hi, Albert, can I join the live? I'd love to be on. Joseph, send me a quick message on Instagram. Let me figure out who you is.
We'd love to connect now.
Yeah, let's connect first and then we'll see. But lots of love to you. Lots of love. So Robin, how does the day find you?
Good. Yeah, I just had my whole day. It's almost 1 a.m. here, so.
Okay. You are very dedicated.
Yes, but I'm a night owl, so it's okay.
Shouts out to Pandoran owls, which we're probably going to meet. We saw Pandoran seagulls in these trailers that we've been seeing. Mm-hmm. So, like, come on. Absolutely. Okay. Well, you know what? Actually, because I can sense something about to happen, which is that I'm very hyped and I can see us, I can see me spilling. And you know, this is a way of water splashing. And if I splash some spoiler water onto Robin, that would be a tragedy. So actually, let me ask, because you guys are now meeting Robin for the first time. So we've added you to the tribe as well, you know. What country do you find yourself in, Robin? Where do you hail? I think you said where. Oh yeah, so we have here. Let's bring it up. Boom. That's where you are right now in the world, aren't you?
I'm yes. I live in Portugal, but I'm from the Netherlands.
Ah, oh, Netherlands. Oh, lovely.
Yes. We moved here in 2016.
Okay. Adorable. And I say that because I've been to the Netherlands, not to Portugal yet, and I love the people, and I think you are exemplifying that as well.
Thank you so much.
No worries. And I won't hide it. I was like, oh my God. So I did not know that you hadn't seen the movie. So what we'll do, is that okay, Anna and Bailey? Now that this beautiful melding has happened, you guys have the rest of your day. I love you lots and lots and lots.
We love you so much, Albert. Thank you.
The love is real. I love you both. And I cannot wait to have you back on. We're now workshopping it.
Yes.
For next weekend, it's the meeting of the clans. It'll be everyone in the Karanyu tribe.
We'll all have seen it by then.
We will all have seen it. You too, Robin. Okay. So, guys,
we'll be back.
Amazing. So I'm actually going to end the stream right now.
Okay.
And then we're going to, you know, Robin with the original login details. Yeah. You can do that. But Anna and Bailey just wanted to meet you. So
am I going to kind of annoy you? That? Come on. Lovely to meet you and see you, Robin. I'm excited for the next one. We'll have a lot to talk about, Miss Girl.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh,
for sure. Yeah.
And I'm so glad we're on that same level, because imagine if it was like,
I know.
What did you think of the original Avatar?
I know.
So no, it's gonna be great. Okay, all right, big hugs to you too. Have a good one. Love you lots. Bye.
Thank you guys.
Bye. Bye everybody. Take it easy.